Hello, welcome to the D&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons. Hello, and welcome to the D&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons.
You're a weirdo.
Thank you very much.
Oh my god.
So you want to go over?
I didn't hear you.
Do you want to go over our disclaimer?
Yeah, why don't you let the computer read it?
What? Okay. Yeah, I'll have to disconnect my hands-free. And hopefully I'll be able to reconnect it.
Oh, shit.
I know, I hate it. Okay, here we go.
Demented Dungeons and Dragons disclaimer. Asterisk legal notice asterisk.
Can you hear it?
This podcast is for educational and / or entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of this is all hearsay evidence and is not admissible in court. Our first-hand knowledge is your hearsay evidence and you should always go and do your own homework. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any terroristic, tyrannical de facto governments, medical establishments, fast food franchises, any religious or non-religious 501c3s or anything of that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to do what is right, when it is right, because it is right. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty, your freedoms, and your liberty, and those same freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, your people, and your homeland. The Lord gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would like them to pray for you. Love others as you would want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicine. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and / or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is a result of a nutritional deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Man and / or other animals, we are not man animals. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast isn't necessarily for you. Please tell your human about us.
Yeah!
Now, wait a minute. We're not man animals? Why, that's blasphemy!
Man animal!
That goes against the New World Order religion.
Yeah. We cannot go against the New World Order religion.
Watch me.
You're still last week.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, can you guess what I'm doing?
You're trying to upload last week's program.
Sorry, what?
Okay. I'll take another guess.
I'm doing my homework on this scam artist that I'm working for.
That'll get you fired.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm probably not going to get paid anyway, so... what the hell?
Right. So maybe you maximize the pay you get by pointing out, listen, I got the dirt on you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know that he cares about that. Yeah, I didn't get paid last week, or this last week. And they're talking about paying me next week for part of what they're supposed to pay me next week and part of what they were supposed to pay me last week, ignoring that I was supposed to get a paycheck this week, as well as part of the other part of the paycheck that I'm getting, supposed to get last week, and part of the rest of the paycheck I'm supposed to get next week. So they're going to pay me part of last week's and part of next week's check this week, which means I won't get a check next week.
So you're getting, basically you're getting a whole check, but not a whole two checks that you deserve.
I am getting a whole check that is part of two checks minus one entire check.
Yeah.
So getting one third of my pay.
Okay, that. Yeah, he's getting ready to blow town.
Yeah. He just started this company 6 months ago, 4 to 6 months ago.
Right, and how long does this typical company last?
Typical companies or typical scams?
His typical companies. How long do they last?
Oh, that's a good question.
Right. Because you may have enough data to know that.
Well, this company,
and
that
what,
I'm reaching right now, what, Champion Truck Line, I don't know how long he was in business, but the report was made May 11th of this year.
Basically, what's his trigger to bail out?
I don't know.
And if you know his trigger to bail out, then you know when to get out. But I think he's already hit it if he's doing this crap.
Well, I don't think he's quite there yet. He just dumped one of his car companies. So, basically, he's moving his assets from that company to another company, which is probably not this one. But this ripoff report is under Champion Truck Line, which I guess it was his last trucking company, because it's for last year, 2016. It was updated September 20th of 2016, so it's about a year old. And he's got all kinds of stuff on him here.
Then, all right, so basically, how many companies has he owned since then? And that'll tell you if it's, you know, if his typical period is more than a year or less than a year.
Yeah, I'll have to do my homework on this car company that he's got to see when it started. Because it's failing now. I mean, he's closing the doors now on it. Let's see here.
Well, maybe he learned a lesson from furniture companies. Always be going out of business.
All right. Always be going out of business. Foster Auto, Heartbeat Auto, several trucking company names, etc. Amerifield is another company owned by this fraud, which is the company I'm working for. He has one of his employees create a false account document. Create a false accounting document to present his contact bid, which he won. hesitate, whatever that means. His car lot has failed time and time again. He doesn't pay his bills and screws over his employees. Chuck, the company, has had so many complaints filed and legal troubles. Doesn't pay toll bills, etc. Insurance policy systematically canceled each month due to non-payment. He shut down his car lot this week and had the new crew out to do a story on him as a hero. He said he was sending his, the news crew. He said he was sending the cars to Houston for hurricane victims, when in fact he is in the hole with his floor plan, $400,000, and is dumping all the cars to dig himself out. All in the while, not paying payroll for last week, which is why I didn't get paid. You know, well, basically they're saying he didn't pay payroll at all last week.
He drew you in with big promises. And made it look like he was desperate for workers and with a deadline.
Well, he's always desperate for workers, so hire anybody. Because he doesn't, if he's not paying his people, they're quitting him. And supposedly a couple drivers have his equipment hidden and have liens against it until he pays them their money.
Right.
So he's lost equipment because he's not paying drivers. So now he doesn't own the equipment. He leases it. And rumor has it he doesn't pay the bills on them either. So
if you were to confiscate his vehicle and put a mechanic's lien on it because he's not paying you, the company that loaned it to him would come after you.
Correct. Right, because they're the owners.
Right.
So, all in all, okay. They were talking about making a slip seat. And I said, well, I'm not going to be slip seating, you know. And they're like, you don't have to worry about slip seating. Okay. So, like last time I went home, I didn't take all my stuff with me.
Right.
I left a lot in the truck. I could have came back to not having a truck, have my truck repoed, and all my stuff gone.
Yeah.
But I was fortunate. This time when I go home, I'm not leaving my stuff in the truck.
No, you're going to have to minimize.
I'm taking everything with me because I don't know that I'm coming back. And if I do come back, I don't know that I'm going to have a truck to come back to.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I'm coming back. I'm putting in my application for Sandbox ASAP.
Yeah? And is Sandbox aware of his behavior?
No, but they will be. They will be. The good thing that came of this,
yeah,
is I found out about Sandbox because we were leased on with Sandbox as a third party when I first got here. That was what I came here to do, was Sandbox. Then they pulled us all off the Sandbox. They said, that's not working out. We're going to go over here and do this. Then they sat me for a month or a week and a half waiting for somebody to train me on pneumatics so that I can go do this. All in all, I didn't really need training because I got out here. I didn't have nobody to train me. I ended up having to do it all by myself, and I did fine.
There you go.
But
he probably scammed the people who required a trained employee. And
oh yeah, Halliburton.
Told them that you were trained.
I'm on a Halliburton pad right now. If Halliburton knew how this guy was operating his company, they'd kick all our trucks off in a heartbeat. They would have a fit. Because you know what? Check this out. The guy next to me, I'm training him. And I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, I know what I'm doing to a degree because I've been doing liquid tankers for 11 years. I mean, I've got certain concepts in my head. I somewhat know what I'm doing. But I'm new here. I'm a rookie training another rookie.
And does the rookie know that you're a rookie?
They don't know I'm a rookie. And I'm actually doing really good. So it's not really technically like I'm a rookie training another rookie. I'm actually doing really good. So it's good that I'm helping this guy because nobody else is helping him. But, and I think after this load, I think he'll have it. So he'll be all right. I'm looking out for this guy, really. But if Halliburton found out, they would have a fit.
Yeah, watch a Halliburton employee be listening to this podcast.
Probably not. But these guys
probably not because we don't have any real listeners, but, you know.
But I can always tip them off to say, hey, go listen to my podcast.
Yeah, they'd get an earful. Mm-hmm. It'd be like, holy fucking shit.
Not only that, but they didn't tell me about color coding your helmets. So I'm running around with a gray helmet, right?
Yeah.
They issued me a helmet when I got here. I had to go. When I got to Sandbox, they're like, you need a helmet, da-da-da, hard hat, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, I don't have a hard hat. And I thought they were going to give me one. Nope. So I called my company. It's like, nobody gave me a hard hat. If I'd have known I needed a hard hat, I would have brought mine because I got like a half dozen.
Right.
So I had to go buy one. And when I went to go buy one, they had all these different colors. So I picked the one that I liked the best. Gray. I like that one. I'm going to buy that one. I just found out today. I've been doing this a month. I just found out today that gray hard hat is the supervisor hard hat. So everybody expects that I know what I'm doing. Because I'm walking around with the supervisor hard hat.
Well, thank God you didn't pick the greenhorn hard hat.
That's the one I'm supposed to have.
Oh, my God.
I should be running around with the green hat. Same with the guy next to me.
Green for greenhorn?
Green for being green, yeah, rookie. Okay? I could probably get away with the white hat because I've got some experience, but nonetheless.
You know what a greenhorn is, right?
Huh?
Okay, when you go camping, all right? Some people are experienced at camping. They know how to build the fire. They know how to put up their tent and stuff like that. Greenhorns forget simple things like putting plastic underneath their tent and rolling up the edge so the when it rains, the water runs underneath the plastic instead of over the top. Okay? They don't put their stakes in properly. They don't keep their put their firewood in a pile and cover it in such a way they'll stay dry during the rain. They yak late into the night when everybody else is trying to sleep. They're greenhorns. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's me.
They make everybody else at the campsite miserable.
Okay, that's not me. I've graduated to the White House. Even though I've got less than 6 months experience in the oil field, I've got enough other experience to where I'm probably more of a white hatter. I don't think I'm a gray hat yet, but I could probably get there pretty quick. But nonetheless...
So they just let you buy whatever helmet you wanted, and they didn't say nothing to you?
Didn't say shit. And that's technically a safety issue, because they color code people for helmets to know what their experience level is, so they know who knows what, basically. So if a guy's walking around with a green helmet, they know, okay, he's new, we need to watch out for this guy, blah, blah, blah. He could make mistakes that could be detrimental to the rest of us. Maybe
yeah,
even life.
Greenhorn.
Right. So this guy next to me, he's definitely a greenhorn. He needs a green hat. He don't know what the heck he's doing. When I unloaded last night, I pretty much had all my dials. I had everything dialed in. Everything was running smooth, no problem, to where I could walk away from my tank. I was spent more time on his tank helping him than I was on my tank unloading. I first started him, you know, had him going for a good 10, maybe 15 minutes before I even started my tank. So fired my tank up, got all my stuff dialed in to where I felt safe to walk away from it. Spent most of the time on his tank. I just come over to my tank every few minutes to check on it. Then I had to switch tanks where I was delivering the sand into about two-thirds of the way in. So I switched tanks, had to recalibrate my dials, get everything, you know, to where I felt comfortable walking away from it again. Then was over there working on his, helping him because he kept jacking up the whole time. And then I still got done unloading 15, 30 minutes before he did. And,
so you picked the right color helmet because you are supervisor material.
I'm supervisor material, but I'm not supervisor level status. I'm not status yet. I mean, I'll probably look it because I went out and bought my own FRs. So I'm not wearing that jumpsuit. I bought, you know, some blue jean flame retardant pants and a nice button-down shirt, flame-retardant shirt. You know, so I look super, with a gray helmet, I look supervisor material. I look it, and I probably act it, but I'm definitely not supervisor level.
Hey, I wonder if that applies to construction.
I think it does, actually. You know, like these big outfits, these big construction outfits, they do have a lot of that color coding stuff going
right,
on.
Right, because Ian's into construction and stuff, all right? So if I started buying clothes that fit the supervisor level position, he might freak out.
Yeah.
You might like, wait a minute. Why are you wearing that? What do you mean? That supervisor stuff. Yeah, what of it?
Yeah. Big construction. They have the color coding with the helmets and other things, and then they also have stickers that they put on their hard hats, and that signifies things as well.
Right. Well, that's like in the military. You're supposed to know what all the stuff means on somebody's shoulder.
Right.
You know? So you know who to salute at and, you know, how high to jump when they say crap. You know?
I'm figuring out how to take my report off of ripoffreport.com. Because I didn't want that to be public. I was notifying them of insider information, and they put it on the wall. And I'm like, no! Luckily, I didn't put my name on it.
Yeah.
But
it might stand out, though. They might figure out who you are based on that.
They might. But they hired a whole bunch of people a month ago, and if they didn't pay payroll last week on anybody, well, then that could be a number of us.
Right.
And I put my username down as Space Cowboy.
Space Cowboy.
Yeah. So I don't know if that would peg me or not.
Yeah, you're Space Cadet. Space Cadet.
Space Cowboy. So yeah. But this other person, they didn't put a name. Their name is dot dot dot.
That's a good name.
Yeah, it was probably the name I should have picked. Now.
Yeah, my name is Ellipses.
1 year ago, his attorney contacted these people. Username, attorney. And the title is lawsuit. 1 year ago, it said, please take note that Champion Truck Lines, LLC, and Brandon Foster, plaintiff, has initiated an action in the District Court of Tulsa County, State of Oklahoma. Case number, blah, 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 the action. Due to allegedly false statement. Oh, allegedly. Sorry, I can't read. Due to allegedly false statements made by concerned reporter, original author in the action, plaintiff speaks. Whatever, blah, 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 blah. So anyways, so supposedly the lawyer is contacting these guys, and they're basically telling them to take their deal down. That was a year ago. It's still up.
Oh, they ordered them to take it down because it was supposedly a false allegation, but it's still there.
It's still there.
Which in other words, they failed to bully the place into taking it down.
Right. Hertini did the same thing to me. Hertini was the last criminal that I worked for. And he basically was doing the same thing this guy is doing. Every 3 years, he changed the name of his company. He was a lot better scam artist than this guy is, though. He actually had money. He had property. He had assets. He lost a lot of it because of me and a couple other people. Because I created a website.
You're a freaking asshole, you. Taking a man's money.
Well, he screwed me out of a couple thousand dollars, and he screwed other people out of several grand, so I created a website against him called HertiniSurvivors.org.
Nice.
Yeah, and he threatened to sue me a dozen times, but I kept it up, and he never did sue me. He just threatened to sue me. He didn't have a case. And I knew that because his lawyer told me prior, because I'm an IT guy, right? He wanted to make a website about Allied, the furniture moving company. He wanted to make a website against them. And he wanted me to do it. So I got firsthand knowledge from his attorney basically on what I can and cannot post on this website for him against Allied. So his attorney right. told me exactly what to say and what not to say against Hartini. Messed up. And then at the bottom of the website, I gave thanks to his attorney for giving me the information to use against him.
I'm sure that made his attorney very happy.
Oh, I give tribute to your attorney. It was hilarious. Oh, man. So, even though I don't like the New World Order, I stick the IRS on him. That's how I got my restitution. He ended up having to pay my taxes. I didn't have to pay them.
Yeah. Yep. Unfortunately, that fed the New World Order, but...
Yeah. Well, you know what? Hey, if you got the opportunity to stick a criminal on another criminal, hey, better that than have them go after an innocent bystander.
True that. Let them waste time meeting each other.
Exactly.
Or to rephrase something that Christ said, let the dead eat the dead.
Yes.
Not exactly what he said, but, you know, close enough.
Close enough.
Hey, I should start saying that, see how long before some Christian gets it right. Christ said, let the dead eat the dead.
Did he really say that?
Wait until it gets back to me, somebody else quoting it at me.
That'd be funny.
It
would be me quoting it back to you.
Well, that would be funny, but not quite as funny.
Yeah, it would be if I forgotten that I was the one that heard it from you on the podcast saying that I would quote it back to you.
You idiot!
Yeah. So I'm just waiting for my PEC card. Once I have my PEC card, I can go anywhere and basically do this for anybody else. But
I try to hang enough with this company to get that.
That's where I was going. All in all, it would probably be more in my interest to quit now and redo the training somewhere else.
Would you get paid enough doing that?
By the other company?
Would you make enough money in the meantime?
Oh, you mean staying here until I got my card?
Well, you might not make any money staying there. That's
exactly.
The problem.
Well, I sent a letter to the payroll guy today regarding my payroll. Let's see here, Anthony Gonzalez. Oh, that's the sent folder.
You'd be effed up is if instead of quitting, you followed him from company to company, and he began to recognize you.
Oh, right. Follow him around and basically be the whistleblower every time.
He's like, wait a minute, don't I know you? Maybe.
I'm the space cowboy. Okay. All right, so he sent me an invoice today. No, today's Saturday. Yesterday. I haven't really got an opportunity to really get around to it. It says, please review for Merrifield Incorporated. And then he said somewhere, he said something about, anyways, so it says pay period, August 29th through September 4th. He has me down for my $75 cash advance, my negative payroll of $81.71 for this week that I was supposed to get paid. I'm in a negative 81 when I'm supposed to be in the positive, like, I don't know, $1,000. I'll get to that.
Yeah, you need to tally all this stuff up.
Yeah, I'm keeping track of everything. I went to go pick up that trailer from Wisconsin. They paid me $600. They said they were going to pay me $500. Then they said I complained about that, so they upped it to $600. They're paying me $400 for a layover for the hurricane. And then they're reimbursing me for my $22.05 that I paid on tolls to go get that trailer in Wisconsin. So I replied.
It's all very nice that you say you're going to pay that, but when are you going to actually pay it to me?
Right. Supposedly that's next week. So I wrote, week is missing $500 from prior week, 22nd through 28th. Plus, the 30th through the 4th, I was under the impression I was getting $200 a day for working local in Hassett / Fort Worth, and $100 per day for layover / breakdown if they did not have any work for me to do. So I worked on the 30th through the 2nd. The 3rd and the 4th, I was stuck waiting around for another guy's equipment to get fixed so that he could train me. Not that I needed it. Turns out I'm a natural. But I have also been doing liquid tankers for 11 years, so this isn't a whole lot different. But people were insistent that I waited for someone to quote-unquote train me. Meanwhile, I could have been out here making money instead of twiddling my thumbs and toes around there for a week and a half, potentially not getting paid when I was told I would get paid. Then, for next week's payroll, on the 5th, I moved the green trucks for you. I took all their new trucks, me and another guy took all their trucks to this place to get pumps put on them so that we could do this job. And then I said, the 6th to the 10th, I went to Wisconsin to get that trailer. And then I said, so this coming week, you're only going to pay me for 4 days layover and for the trailer that's supposed to be on next week's pay. So then what? I don't get nothing next week? ? Then I went into payroll a little more detailed. Last week's pay, what I should have got paid last week, the 22nd to the 28th, should have been the $400 layover plus, because the layover was more than just 4 days. And all of those days I was told, one of those days I was told I would get $200 instead of the normal $100 because they had work for me and I did it. So that week I should have made $800. So last week I should have made $800. They had me as a negative 81. This week, which is the week coming up, Tuesday, that I should get paid, pay week, the 29th to the 4th, should be $1,100 because I was laid over for that whole week, and for 4 of those days I was working either local in Fort Worth area or in the yard, moving trailers around, getting trailers washed, whatnot. Then next week, the 5th through the 11th, is where I should get the $600 for the Wisconsin run, plus $200 for moving the green trucks, and another $100 for being laid over waiting for a trainer. Then the 12th to the 18th, which is the week period that I'm in now, I have been finally working again, hauling sand, and I learned right away with very little help. Shauna, my safety person there at the yard and kind of like supervisor, complimented me last week for being so patient. And I said, I'm a pretty patient person. Just don't mess with my pay and my home time and we'll be okay. Well, either my payroll got screwed up or I got lied to. So if my pay doesn't get fixed, as I was told it would be, I will not be doing any more work, favors or otherwise, unless I get it in writing, what I will get for it, and I will not be trusting anyone's quote-unquote words again. Every time I do people favors, I tend to get screwed. So as long as it gets fixed, I will be a model employee and an example to the rest. I'm now helping to train another new guy here, and I'm not asking for any money. So you can consider that a favor as well. But I'm mostly doing as a favor to him. I was told that the only way I would not get paid layover / breakdown pay is if they had work for me and I refused it. Well, I never refused work. I also just bought nuts and bolts to fix your trailer a couple days ago. I did the work for free and only expect to get reimbursed for the nuts and bolts. So all I ask is to get paid for what I was told I would get paid. Nothing more, nothing less. If I had known this was going to be a problem, I would have not come back to work after being sent home for the hurricane. Maybe they should have left me on sandbox instead of pulling me off there prematurely, because I'd still be making money over there. Maybe I came to work for the wrong company. That being said, the Haslett office...
You sent that to them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just clued them in that you might be...
Fuck it. I said, that being said, the Haslett office is telling people that we're doing 3 to 5 loads per day out here in the field and making $300 to $500 per day per driver, or to the driver. There's no way drivers are able to do this. You might suggest them not lie to your drivers. If a driver is doing 3 to 5 loads a day and making $300 to $500 a day to the driver, they're running unsafe and illegal. I'm not running 100% legal, and I cannot even do that. What I am seeing is that drivers are doing 1 to maybe 3 loads a day tops. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, I'll stick around as long as the company does their part. If not, I'm gone with the wind. Then I put, my cousin wrote that book, Happy Face. Thanks, Kano, a.k.a. David Michael Kano Doherty. Then I wrote...
You're just asking for trouble.
Yeah, I wrote another email. Sorry if my last email was a bit harsh, but I have heard that other drivers are not getting paid, and so I'm kind of freaking out. No, I just found out that we, the drivers, are supposed to have color-coded hard hats. No one told me this when I started. I wasn't even issued a hard hat. I had to go buy my own, and no one told me what color I was supposed to get. The new guys are supposed to have green helmets. Green meaning rookie. White hard hats are for people with 6 months to a year experience or more. Plus, people with green hats are supposed to have proper training, and we are not getting proper training. We could, one, get either get kicked off the pad or be set up for a lawsuit if something happens and someone gets hurt. People with gray hats have...
Caleb, I got to tell you right now, you tell them too much crap.
I hear you. Well, this is the payroll guy. He might have been the one who issued the other report. But anyways, I said people with the gray hats are supposed to or have at least 5 years experience or supervisors only. I didn't know that, but I'm running around with a gray hard hat. So we could get in trouble for that. So here I'm letting him know that I'm looking out for them.
You put a target on your back. I'm sorry.
Maybe.
Yeah,
but
you did.
I'm trying to make it sound like I'm looking out for them.
Right.
No one told me that till today, so now I have to go buy a green or white hard hat. Also, if Halliburton finds out you have a rookie, me, training another rookie, they will go through the roof. Now I have 11 years liquid experience, so that might slide, but we need to be careful.
You need to print this out. You need to print this out and get it notarized as to date, so that when they tell Halliburton that you were pretending to be a supervisor running around with a gray helmet training people when you weren't yourself properly trained, the lawsuit doesn't come down on your head for several million dollars.
Yeah.
That's what I see.
Okay.
You set yourself up for that.
So, okay, I'll have to do that. I said, I don't think things are being ran professionally here, but with a little work and TLC, that can change. Hope this finds you well, Kano. So I'm sending this to the payroll guy, who I think is trying to do the right thing, but he's like some of the other people, is in the middle. Because I talked to this guy. I met this guy in person. He seems like he's legitimate. Okay. He seems like he's trying to do the right thing.
Even so, if he passes it up the line, somebody who's in the know might go, you know what, we need to bury this guy.
Right.
And, you know, you gave him enough information to do that.
Probably. I'm too honest.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But, yeah. They might even make it hard for you to get your next job because... people when you weren't qualified.
Yeah.
And they might say, well, he claimed to have this experience and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we believed him.
You might say that I claim to have that experience.
What?
You mean...
Well, they'll say you wore a gray helmet and stuff. You know, you claimed to be this, that, and the other when you weren't. You know, they might claim you claimed that.
Right. Well, I got two or three character witnesses I can bring in from people that do have experience because I've been talking to them. And one of them just left. He quit. He's like, screw this. There's fraud on here. And the other one, he's leaving Monday. If he hasn't already left. He's not really... He's kind of iffy on whether he's going to stick around for the weekend.
Right.
And they're actually wanting me to come with them and start their own company doing this. They've got experience doing this.
Well.
So they think I'm smart enough to at least help them, or either that or they think I'm a sucker and they're going to sucker me.
Pray about it.
Pray about it.
Pray about it, you know. But, you know, if they're willing to train you.
Well, Well, one of them was my trainer. The other one was supposed to be my trainer.
Right.
But the one who was supposed to be my trainer, he wouldn't go out with faulty equipment. The truck was faulty. The trailer was faulty. He's like, I'm not going out with this faulty equipment. You know, of course, he's very, very meticulous and very particular about all the details, and everything's got to be New World Order standards.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Who in your life is that way?
David Ray. But anyway.
Who else in your life? Family members like that.
My dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's all like, he's talking about case law and safety this. And these people are setting themselves up for a lawsuit and this and that and whatever and blah, 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 blah. That's why he quit today. He's like, I'm gone. I'm out of here. He's going to New Mexico. He got another job. But these guys, they talk a good talk. And so he came here first. The other guys was his backup plan.
Right.
So the other guy who trained me, he didn't train me a lot because when we got here, I was waiting to get staged so that I could unload. And Halliburton was actually unloading him, so he didn't have to unload. So he didn't teach me. I stood out there with Halliburton, and I learned from Halliburton how to unload. So Halliburton taught me.
They weren't supposed to, but they did. Okay.
Well, I don't know if they were supposed to or not. They just did. And I was wearing a gray hat at the time, too, by the way.
So they kept you standing there.
They knew I didn't know what I was doing, and I was running around with a gray hat.
And they didn't say nothing.
They didn't say anything, so they just probably thought I was an idiot. Anyways, apparently this pad is pretty flexible as far as Halliburton is concerned. Other pads are not. This pad's probably one of the most flexible. So we can get away with a lot of things here that we wouldn't get away with somewhere else. Like this guy next to me, you know, he'd have probably been run off already because he plugged a lot. When on the first unload, when I first met him and I started helping him, he was plugging the line every 5 minutes.
And okay.
I hear blowers going. I think they might be letting people unload. No, maybe not. They're going to come knock on my truck whenever they're ready for me to unload. Anyways, so I learned from Halliburton, who was unloading his trailer. And then after he was done, they told him that they were going to help me unload my trailer just like they unloaded his. They didn't. But luckily, I was in there watching when he was unloading his. So I had very little training. Now, okay, the guy who was supposed to, the two guys who technically were supposed to train me, they trained me in the yard blowing air through the lines, but we didn't have any product in the tank, so they kind of trained me already. And then I got 11 years liquid tanker experience. So I have experience, it's just different kind of experience, it's just similar but not the same. So, and they walked me through all the processes in the yard probably a good couple dozen times. Then I got here, Halliburton showed me how to do it unloading product, physical product, once on the other guy's trailer. Then I had to unload my own all by myself. And I actually did good. I only plugged the line once. And that was because I was experimenting. I was doing everything good, nice and smooth till I got to the end. And when I got to the end, towards the end, when I was almost done, I started thinking, okay, what if I do this? Nope, didn't work. Plugged the line. I learned my lesson there. After that, I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that again. Smooth sailing. The load after that, smooth sailing. Load after that, smooth sailing. I've been smooth sailing since. But yeah, we're not getting proper training. We're not getting proper training. So maybe I should get Halliburton's email and forward this on to them.
Are they taking you now?
No, I said maybe I should get Halliburton's email and forward this to them. That email that I sent to my payroll guy?
Right.
But yeah, I probably did put a noose around my neck for sure, or a target on my back.
Depends on what your payroll guy does.
Right. So I try to make it sound like I'm looking out for them as well as myself. I just want money. You know, money that I earned.
He threatened us. He said he was going to sabotage us unless we paid him.
How did I threaten?
They can twist whatever you said.
Oh, true.
He said, as long as you don't mess with my paycheck, I'll be a model employee.
Well, then I said at the end, if I don't get paid, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I'm gone with the wind. Oh, yeah, I won't be model citizen, model employee. I'll be talking to all the other employees, getting and giving the rundown.
Getting, gotten, gone.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, other employees are the ones that tipped me off. I mean, I was seeing things. I was starting to put together the puzzle, but if it weren't for communicating with other employees, I wouldn't have as much information as I have. And I probably really should quit now. I should go pack my truck up and go home. I got enough gas money in my pocket.
Call the leasing company and say, hey, if you've noticed the number of your trucks haven't been paid rent on, you might check to see if where they are. Because this guy is paying payroll and drivers are keeping the trucks.
Timeline Leasing, LLC, is the company he's leasing from. So I need to Google them. Timeline Leasing, LLC, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Of course, this could be him. That could be his other company.
So he's leasing to himself, so he'd be ratting him out to himself.
Well, yeah, just moving money around, basically.
Hey, I wonder who else says that.
Who?
Well, you keep accounts active by, you know.
Oh, yeah, I move money around, but I'm doing it legally. I'm not doing it illegally. I'm doing it lawfully.
I'm not really convinced that there's an illegal way to move money around.
I'm doing it lawfully. Timeline Leasing is him.
Is it?
Yeah, he's only got one like on his Facebook page.
Okay, so basically when they're keeping his trucks, they're still keeping his trucks.
Yeah, he's got a note with First Star Bank.
Now, wait a minute. If he isn't paying his rent to his own company... That's a confusing issue.
Right. He's basically... somewhere else.
That's confusing. If he owns the company that he's renting from, and he's not paying the rent...
well, that company could be...
company show a loss...
make both companies show a loss, and then he's pocketing all this money. He's also leasing from Schneider Financing. Schneider's a big company.
You better watch, or some Schneider eggs will land on his head.
Yeah, maybe I should give Schneider a call tomorrow.
Hey, Schneider! Did you know this?
Yeah, he's leasing all of his trailers from Schneider. The trucks, I don't know who he's leasing them from, because the paperwork's under Timeline Leasing, which is a different company, but it looks like it's a auto trucking, or an auto trucking or an auto company. And he does have a car hauler sitting in the parking lot in Haslett. So,
talking which, we need a car hauler that, you know, one of those car dollies. That can reach underneath an RV.
Oh, God. You're living dangerous, aren't you?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Well, nobody will move that RV. What would be more dangerous, putting a tow strap on it or putting it on a car dolly?
Okay, here's a phone number for Timeline Leasing. Let's see if it matches. Let's see here. Anthony. Oh, that doesn't give a phone number for him.
Well, okay, let's change the subject a little bit.
Okay.
So, I put this trickle charger on the battery of the box truck, and it turns out that the gas wasn't low. It truly was a low battery, and the trickle charger is doing a good job of bringing the battery up to charge. I measure it with my multimeter, and it's between 12 and 13 volts when I measure it. You know, in the evening, in the afternoon. But when I measured it once, apparently the actual cigarette lighter, the connections are really close together. So with this needle-thick probe, I managed to touch both contacts at the same time and got a spark out of it and blew its fuse. Where's your fuse box? Do you know?
That's...
yeah, I'm going to search all over to find it. I kind of assumed it would be at my feet, but I don't exactly see it down there, so it might not be well labeled. Anyway, fortunately, the other power outlet isn't on the same fuse, or we wouldn't be talking right now. Anyway, yeah. So, anyway, I'll look for that if you don't know where it is off the top of your head. As far as I know, it could be under the hood or underneath the engine cover here. I don't know.
Me neither. I'm trying to figure out who's timeline leasing. There's got to be a record of the LLC holder.
Well, yeah, I mean, how do you see what all a person is invested in creating an LLC? Because that would have been helpful with somebody else we know of. I mean, we found two of his LLCs. But how many more he produced?
Oh, let me put his name in here. That's how I found the other guys. Okay, I forgot his name. Brandon. What's his last name?
Brandon Moore. You'll probably get a million.
Brandon Foster.
Brandon Foster. Well, that's probably going to get you several hits.
Timeline Leasing. Brandon Foster. Company info and review. Doesn't say that he's the owner, but it did on the Google search.
Right.
Yeah. Here it is. The registered agent on file for this company is Brandon Foster, and his location is blah, blah, blah. So there we go.
Oh, I moved the kittens.
You moved the kittens?
Yeah, because I knew it was going to rain pretty soon. And Squirrel was oblivious of that fact. So I picked up all four kittens and moved them into the cage. And then I caught Squirrel and put her in the cage with her kittens. Because she knew where she put them, but she didn't know where I put them.
Right.
So, she put them in a pretty smart place. She put them, you know where all those empty barrels are? It forms kind of a maze in, underneath there. You know, narrow passages where the kittens can go, but other things can't. That's where she put them. But it won't protect them from the rain. They would have gotten wet.
I gotta go. Do Ron Paul and call it a day because I gotta go.
All right.
I can do it. Okay.
I can do a merge call and do it myself.
All right, we'll do Ron Paul real quick, and then I got to go unload.
Or you can start it up and mute your mic and...
Yeah.
And then go do your business while your mic's muted.
Mic muted business. Here we go.
Day for Monday, September 11th. Former White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel famously counseled politicians to never let a crisis go to waste.
Yeah.
Sadly, this week, President Trump and congressional leaders of both parties showed that they have taken this advice to heart when they attached a debt ceiling increase and an extension of government spending to the over $15 billion Hurricane Harvey relief bill. This maneuver enabled Congress to avoid a contentious debate over whether to pass a clean debt ceiling increase or to pair it with spending cuts. After all, few members of Congress want to be accused of blocking a bipartisan deal to help those suffering from Harvey over what the media will spin as the right-wing anti-government crusade. Combining hurricane relief with a debt ceiling increase and an extension of government funding had bipartisan support. Days before President Trump sat down with Democrats to hammer out a deal, Capitol Hill was abuzz with talk about Senate GOP plan to attach a debt ceiling increase and an extension of government funding to the hurricane bill. If, as was reported in the media, the GOP leadership objected to Trump's deal, they could have refused to bring it up for a vote. After all, as Senator John McCain wrote this week, Congress does not work for President Trump. But the deal quickly passed in the House and the Senate with large bipartisan majorities. As is common in D.C., the parties agreed on the principle, and they only squabbled over the details. A refusal to raise the debt ceiling would not cause the government to default. It would simply force Congress to set spending priorities and make a real spending cuts. In contrast, raising the debt ceiling allows Congress to continue to run up more debt in order to grow the government. The American people will pay for these deficits either directly through an increase in the income tax and other federal taxes or indirectly through the inflation tax. The inflation tax results from the Federal Reserve's monetization of the federal debt, which devalues the currency. At some point, however, sooner than most expect, this continued dollar devaluation will cause a global revolt against the dollar's world reserve currency status. The result will be an economic crisis that could make the Great Depression seem like a mild downturn. There are reports that President Trump may soon seek legislation abolishing the debt ceiling. This would put the growth of government spending and debt on autopilot and make a mockery of his promise to drain the swamp. It would also hasten America's economic day of reckoning. We are running out of time to avoid a major economic crisis. Congress must immediately begin cutting spending. New spending for legitimate emergencies must be paid for with spending cuts. Overseas militarism and corporate welfare should be the first items on the chopping block. Domestic welfare spending should be gradually decreased so as not to hurt those dependent on the program. Reducing the size and scope of government is the only way to stop the swamp from draining our prosperity and our liberty. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Wait for it.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Bom, bom, bom.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Okay. I guess I'm not unloading yet. All I heard was never let a good crisis go to waste.
Well, they always say that. But, and I say that too. Every time there's an end of the world, I try to save up for the day after, because that's the day you buy up all the supplies that the people who thought the end of the world were coming bought.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Always is.
Yeah.
And the proper way to prepare for it is to be perpetually prepared for it. Live as if it has happened, even though it hasn't.
Right. Isn't the end of the world supposed to be in like 5 to 10 days?
What's today?
The 15th.
I believe you're right. Somebody told me. You know, I cannot find any other information on it other than what that idiot told me.
Which means it's not going to happen.
Nobody else knows about it except for him.
Right, because he's like, what's his face? Oh, Joseph Smith. The one true prophet.
Well, his name is Joseph, so I guess that fits.
Yeah, but isn't that the name that he gave himself?
I don't know.
No. The name he gave himself was Jeremiah. Ah, okay. Never mind. We're talking about different people.
Yeah. That's all right. Doesn't really matter.
It don't
matter. Some people would know about it. I could ask our friend, our flat earther friend, who seems to know about it too. But
so who's this Joseph character?
Oh God. He's a Jerry in training.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Military guy.
No, I don't think he's military. Is he military?
That's what he told me. He's a military vet.
Well, he's the laziest military guy I've met. And I've met some pretty lazy ones.
Oh, goodness. That was funny.
What's fine to be fine?
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry, what?
It was a factual statement. I wasn't trying to be funny.
I know. The fact is funnier than fiction sometimes. Oh, shoot. What was that?
He was trying to...
something hilarious. And we're not trying to be funny. It's just so freaking funny, though. Oh, my goodness.
He was preaching to me at one point. And so I asked him what he was doing to help others.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember that.
And it's like, well, I'm spreading the good word. Oh, okay, so you're telling them they should obey Jesus and such. Oh, yeah, of course. All right, so...
What did Jesus do? What did Jesus say?
Yeah, what did Jesus say? He said to do the same stuff he's doing. Oh, well, we can't do that because we're not perfect. I hear the same thing about following God's law. It's like, well... we're not perfect people, so, you know, we can't do that. It's like, God didn't make his law for perfect people. He made his law for the people that exist.
If we were perfect, there wouldn't be a law.
Wouldn't need it. Yeah, that's true, too. You know. Anyway.
It wouldn't need one.
Jesus,
I mean,
said to obey. Yeah, Jesus said to obey God's law. You know, all these things. You know, follow the commandments. Jesus said, follow the commandments. And it's like, you know, if you're going to follow me, follow the commandments. And it's like, time and time again, I hear preacher after preacher give the excuse. It's like, well, you can't be saved by works. It's by faith alone. It's like, well, okay, but what's the test? What's the test to prove that your faith is true? Oh, you do works. So, if your faith isn't true, then you're not doing the works. And, you know, it may not be the works that save you, but, you know, it's the lack of works that prove that you don't have the right faith.
Right.
I don't know, just logical approach there.
Yeah.
That's all right. I was listening to the scriptures, I have this program for people who are listening that reads PDF files to me. And I have the King James on a PDF. And in three of the Gospels, Jesus is basically giving the Pharisees and Sadducees a hard time because they complained that his disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. And he correctly points out that what really soils a man, you know, You know, what really makes you unclean is what comes out of your mouth, not what goes in. You know, the words you say. All right? So, yeah, that's more important than having washed hands when you eat, because, you know, your spirit's much more important than your body. That said, though, had Jesus said that at my table and held with it, I would say, well, you boys are no longer allowed in the kitchen. And I will be serving you individually. You will not be dipping for your own food.
Right.
Because you're a bunch of barbaric heathens. Undeserving to sit at a table.
Undeserving.
Poor Jesus. He'd be wondering what hit him.
Poor Jesus. I started learning about draconic astrology.
Who what now?
I started learning about draconic astrology.
Right.
Remember I talked about that in the past?
Yeah, you have. That's why eventually I understood what you said.
Yeah. So I used to
check
and to call it like vampire astrology, because, you know, Dracula, draconic.
Yeah, well, draconic means dragon.
I didn't know that. I'm not a D&D fan like you. I mean, a D&D fan like you.
You don't necessarily have to be a D&D player to know that.
It's hard to say.
Help, but you don't necessarily need to be one.
It's hard not to say D&D. I mean, it's hard not to say D&D when we're talking about D&D.
Yeah, well, it's. Most D&D players now play what's called AD&D.
What's AD&D?
Advanced Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm.
All right. But that's only because TSR wrote lots of books on D&D that they called Advanced D&D. And they've got several iterations of it out now. I don't even know how far along they've gone writing books. So,
nice. Sounds very boring.
Well, yes and no.
I'm just kidding. Oh, goodness.
One of the most boring things I could hear, and I used to run the game. I used to be the dungeon master. All right. One of the most boring things I could hear is when players would run around and tell other people who didn't play the game, I killed 3,000 orcs and 20 gnolls and got all this beautiful treasure, and I got this +5 vorpal sword and magic mithril armor, and it's like, dude, shut up.
Nobody cares.
It doesn't make sense to the person you're talking to. Why are you even bothering? Yeah, it's fun when you're playing, but it's not fun to hear it. You know, I used to research for the games, and they started writing fictions based on D&D. And I'd read through some of them, and the author sounded like these stupid players.
Nice.
And it's like, oh, God. I just want to know a little bit more about this character so that when I run the game, I run him correctly. I'd like to have an actual real storyline.
Okay.
I don't want statements like, oh, and the gods must have been against him. His die roll was a 7.
Right. The gods. The gods.
It's like, if you're going to describe a character's actions in a book, even if it's based on D&D, you're supposed to forget that it was all based on dice roll. You just write the story and fill it in so that it sounds exciting.
Right. Good luck with that.
I mean, actually, that's how I tried to run my games. You know, I tried to run them so that there was storyline. You know, that's, you know.
So back to Draconic Astrology.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I don't think it has anything to do with dragons or Dracula or vampires. And,
well, Draco is dragon.
Yeah.
So it has to have something to do with dragons.
Maybe, but I don't think so. It is medieval. Draconic Astrology is before this astrology that they call Eastern Astrology that everybody swears is the best astrology in the world. Not everybody, but a lot of people.
Among people who do astrology.
Draconic, not really. People are actually going more towards topocentric, which is the Western astrology. Even a lot of Eastern astrology people, they're keeping their Eastern astrology interpretations and methods, but they're going with the new Western astrology charts.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's more accurate.
I don't know what all that means, but that's okay.
Right. Well, basically, the interpretations are all pretty much the same. It's just that everybody has their own interpretations of something. But how they determine those interpretations are based on the charts. Draconic astrology is the oldest. It predates the sidereal astrology, which is Eastern astrology, sidereal. Draconic is older than that. And then topocentric is the new astrology, which they call Western astrology.
Topocentric.
Topocentric. And what Draconic astrology is they say it is the astrology for the true self. Well, isn't that what you want to use, if that's your true self?
Okay.
What I'm looking at, as far as Draconic astrology goes, when you look at the timeline for the astrology, I'm still doing my homework on this. Draconic astrology is based on the approximate time of conception.
Approximate time of conception.
The approximate, because they don't know exactly when you were conceived and when you actually, your body, actually, you, when your heart actually started beating.
Well, that was a few days later, but yeah.
Right. But we don't know exactly when that is. Well, Draconic astrology is an approximate time of when that happened. And in my personal beliefs, that's when we're born, according to Christianity.
So they count backwards from when you leave the matrix.
Basically, yeah. So it could be a week off. It could be a couple weeks off.
So this is when the kid left the womb, so subtract 9 months, and that's where we're at.
Yeah. And that's basically how, that's basically what it is. It's when you were actually born in the womb.
So I wouldn't be a Virgo. I'd be a
Well, I don't know. Let's run your chart.
I'd be a Capricorn.
Yeah, I'm using Draconic right now. I'm a Sagittarius on the Draconic astrology. So, hair... I'll just call you hair because we don't want to tell people what your supposed last name is. You're a Gemini.
Yeah, the thing that scares me most.
You have a lot of Gemini. You are a Gemini with Cancer rising. You have Moon in Cancer, which would explain why you're addicted to sweets. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, you have Mercury in Gemini, Venus in Taurus, which explains why you're such a stubborn ass. Oh, wait. Anyways.
Wait a minute. What did you call me?
Stubborn bull. And then... and then you have Mars in Aries.
Oh, that's better. I thought you called me an ass.
Yeah, Taurus. You're Venus. You love to be stubborn. That actually fits you.
Yeah, whatever.
But it's a Taurus on a Gemini cusp.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's your
favorite. Paranoid of two minds.
Yeah, and then your Uranus is in Venus. I mean, in Venus. Your Uranus is in Gemini, and your Pluto's in Gemini as well.
Okay.
Which I don't know what that means. But we'll have to, run your Draconic interpretation, your reading, and we'll have to compare that to who you are and see if it's actually more accurate.
Okay, whatever.
Whatever. You know, that's interesting. I wonder if the Draconic compatibility match between Delana and myself will say the same thing as the couple-centric compatibility match said between the two of us.
I wonder what that would say about astrology if it did.
I know, right?
Well...
because it was accurate. I hear blowers firing up.
All right. So that concludes our DD&D podcast for this week.
Yeah. September 11th. The week of September 11th.
So if you want to put up with us again next week, feel free to call in. You can find that information at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. Or, yeah. Yeah, I don't think we're going
to. I just renewed the server for 2 years. So we'll be around for another 2 years to annoy you.
Yeah.
If you allow us to annoy you. You got to listen before we can annoy you.
Oh, I don't know.
Listeners. We had like 16 listeners. Now we don't have any, I don't think.
None?
I don't know how many. Well, let me look.
Yeah, we'll never get advertisers if we don't figure out how to track our listeners.
We have one like from last week. And that was probably me.
Probably you.
No, because I just liked it. Now we got two likes. We got one listener.
Well, you know it wasn't me because I don't do that crap.
I hear you.
All right.
But on this podcast, we had 19 likes. And on this podcast, 29 likes. So who knows?
Oh. A okay, we need electricity so that I can set up a laptop or a computer so that I can burn MP3s so we can check out library materials and get lectures and stuff.
There you go.
Yep.
I hadn't checked out that link you sent me yet, but it sounds cool. I should put it on Facebook.
Yeah, WorldCat. It's basically a catalog for all the libraries in the U.S. and, you know, whoever signed up to it. But, you know, if you just go to your local library and they don't have a book you want, they can go out on their interlibrary system and borrow that book through the library and let you know when it's available, and you come in and get it, and you know, you only have a limited amount of time to work with it. It's usually less than a normal library checkout.
Oh, but, okay.
You know, if you take the time to digitize the book, then you have that book available to you even though you turned it back in. You know, they kind of frown on that behavior, but, you know, if it's for personal use, it's for personal use. It's reasonable usage, you know. Now, if you're turning around and selling copies of your digitized book, I frown on that. So,
right.
I'm sure. Well,
you're open source. You think everything should be open source.
Well, yeah, but only if the owner of it, you know, approves also. I think, all right, if you learn how to make an engine, you studied hard and stuff like that, and you've determined how to make an engine run, and you're the first one to do it, okay, that's your knowledge. It's up to you whether you turn that knowledge loose or not.
Oh,
but I'm telling you, they would benefit. What? What'd you say? I think he left. All right. So that's the end of the podcast. And we'll all talk to you next week. Bye.
At DementedDungeonsDragons.com. All right, I'm hanging up.